saying, waiting for Pastor Kyle.
Blog Talk Radio.
Countdown's me on now, right?
Thank you.
Nothing. We good. I see you on the trick screen.
Pastor, you there?
Yeah. You can't see me?
Yeah. We live now, so what do you have going on?
Hold on. Let me look real quick. Because, I did all the studio stuff.
Hold on,
I must have got booted or something. Exactly what happened, but whatever it is, it was. And now we's here. Now we's here. Glory to the King. All right, Israel. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Let me see. So how are we coming in tonight? Everything coming in pretty good? It's important to be heard. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Yahweh or Yahuwah. You know, that's one thing I need to do. As soon as I can just get the time, I really truly need to look into that pronunciation of Yahuwah. I really truly do. I don't know what my thing is doing, man. Man, why do you look into that pronunciation of Yahuwah? Hallelujah. Could be some merit to it. Could not. But it does, but it is going to take a diligent inquiry, and we have to do our due diligence. But hallelujah, glory to the King. How everybody doing tonight? I know, y'all know how we doing here at Straightway, right? Y'all know that we are snowed, iced in. Let me say, I see Mike Israel, but you can't see me still? Okay, what we got going on? Can y'all hear me? If y'all can hear me, type in 3. If you can hear me, type in 3 so we can go forward with this. Got a little confusion going on in here. All right. Good. Glory to the King. Well, we've had about 7 inches of snow. We have been as low as -2 degrees here at Straightway. That's nothing compared to Elder Kabir and them up in Wisconsin where they're -15 and 20. But for us, getting below 50 is too low for us here. but here we are. And let me see, it's supposed to be extremely cold tonight. We're going to be down, they say 5 degrees probably here at Straightway because we live next to a creek. We may be right back at -2 again. But all the Israelites, we're doing well because we are prepared. Matter of fact, I had some people call me today and leave voicemails and messages, and they just begin to weep and say, Pastor Dow, just thank you. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just went to the store just to pick up just something simple. It wasn't no big deal. And I saw them shelves bare and saw them people fighting over water and everything else. But you keep us prepared in this ministry. Because we don't need nothing. We already have everything. All we got to do is just listen and obey. That's all we have to do, just listen and obey. And then they were going to say, because Yah has literally given us the man of Yah in his generation. Now, that's what they say. Now, I know I am a man of Yah, but they said, man, I tell you, you got to be able to have vision, to be able to see afar, but more than anything, you got to be able to have the spirit of discernment and be in tune with the Holy Spirit, because I'm only here for the benefit of Israel. That's why I'm here. I'm here because he has laid necessity upon me. And he has called me and made me a minister of the message, of the true message, the true set-apart message. And I ever since Yah has made me a minister of his message, I have tried to make sure with the best of my ability that not only I minister this message, but I live the message. See, that's where the merit comes in. That is truly where the merit comes in. Because, you know, it's kind of hard to fight against evidence. Kind of hard to fight against, you know, evidence and then those who are actually doers of the word. And I tell you, man, I thank the Father for it. Elder Becker said it is 80 degrees in his house, and I bet it is too, because Elder Doug, even though he is up, he's from Minnesota, Elder Doug don't like being cold at all. But hey, everybody with them wood stoves in the house, and plus, you know, we have a nice set of brothers here that if anybody runs low on wood, I told you, we all have wood stoves here at Straightway. I have been heating with wood stoves now going on 26 years. 26 years. I've literally been heating my home with wood stoves. And I'm building myself and the ministry, the brother, and we're building me a brand new house at the top of the hill up here, right? And it's even a wood stove, but it's a central boiler unit. But you can better believe, you can bet your bottom dollar this, that I'm going to have a backup old-fashioned wood stove. I'm going to try to find the biggest one I can, too. And I'm going to put it connected to that house. Because just in case anything goes down, that old manual laborer sticking that wood in that wood stove, and we just sit around the wood stove. Even if we got this house, and it doesn't even heat the whole house, man. We have each other, and we'll have those flannel sheets and those nice blankets, and we can just sit around the fire and talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't know, there's no better life than that. Sit around Jesus, sit around the fire, talk about Jesus, and have some nice hot toddies or whatever it is, and maybe fall asleep right there, wake up in the morning. Whoever wakes up, throw a couple more logs on the wood stove. You talking about living. You talking about living the life. Wow. Man, I feel sorry for you people out there, man, that has to deal with that so-called, quote-unquote, central heating and air. Every home we built out here, we've built homes, right, but we have never built a home on these communities that has central heating and air. Not one home. But the one I'm building at the top of the hill is going to, and that's not there to accommodate me and my household because we're pretty disciplined people. But I can tell you one thing. I always make sure that if I can detect that my family is getting a little soft, just a little soft, they don't never know what drill is getting ready to come up to test them, and it could be up to upwards of a day to 2 weeks. And I've been out, you know, damn back talking on lip feeder because I will extend it longer than that. The one thing I'm not going to have is I'm not going to have no murmurs and complainers in my house. We're going to be content no matter what state we find ourselves in, and we're going to thank the Father for it. That's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. And I'm glad. Hallelujah. And I had somebody call me up today and just flat out say it, Pastor Dowell, I am proud to call you my pastor, and I am so proud that I had the opportunity to know you on this side of glory. I said, me too, bro. I said, but dang, we're going to have one of these getting to know you moments right here, one of these Hallmark moments or something like that. I mean, hallelujah. Glory to the King. Let me see, where are we at right now? That's the only thing I got coming up right there, but I think we can get past that. We may have the leadership meeting coming up in February. I need to call that thing. I'll tell you what, by the close of business Monday, which would be the 22nd, Roman Monday, I'll let y'all know what times the leadership meeting is going to be up there in Wisconsin. Now listen to me again. All right. I'm not going to bring my whole entire family to the leadership meeting. I'm going to bring a couple of Ishas, ones that will, I mean, all of them are busy. If I leave a few back here and take a few with me, either way it goes, they're going to be busy all the way around the block they are. And I'm going to bring the ones I know is going to help out and put the labor in and be more than happy to do it. And, of course, we got my little dude. You know, y'all always show y'all my little dude. I don't know if he's back with Mama or not, if he's over there with Mother Carol right now. Last I checked, he was with Mother Carol and his cow was in there with him. Y'all know how I always showed y'all his cow and stuff, but, you know, since he came a little early, he came quite a bit early. He came like 2 weeks, I think, earlier than his guy. He came at 33 weeks and 4 days. And, boy, if you see him today, boy, you wouldn't see that. There's no way you would see that. There's little dude. He got two chins now. As a matter of fact, bring him on in here for a second. He got two chins, and he is keeping his mama busy. He's just sucking it down, boy. He is busy. Here he comes. And Mama, y'all pray for Mama. The only thing Mama want to do is get back to exercise and get back in the gym. Now look at him. See, he got two chins now? He got two. Look at him. See what he's doing? Why is he doing me like that? He's just throwing his head back and everything. Look. All right, look. All good. Look, see, he's doing it. I don't know what he'd be fighting me now. Look. He's fine. You good now? Did he have his eyes open?
No.
The light is too bright. He's sleeping now. He's sleeping. Oh, he's something else too. See his two chins? Put them two chins in there. Oh, doing a good job. And his mom, boy, she won't let him go for nothing. Every time I turn around, it's like glue almost. But I just go and take him. Hallelujah. The little dude is doing good. I think right now he's somewhere north of 8 pounds by now, the way he's putting it down. Oh, yeah, beautiful cheeks, beautiful chins, and look, baby rolls. Look, so it's a Casey, something, water, just baby rolls. I know, man. I know you. Some of you sisters out there. Sister Summer's got this philosophy. Just like she did. Y'all seen how big his cow was, right? She got this philosophy. She wants these babies as fat with a bunch of Michelin tire rolls as much as you can get them. They're going to run it off anyway or something like that, but I'm like, wow. Anyway, so, hey, I appreciate all y'all prayers. I truly, truly do. And I was saying the other day, as I was talking to my young Isha, I was saying the other day, I said, you think about society here for a second. Y'all know how many men have missed out on the blessing of being able to have seed in a lifetime? Seed that could carry on your name, your legacy, all because they told us that by the time you get my age, they said, well, you should be grandpa and grandma. Well, I am grandpa and grandma. Well, I'm grandpa, but I can't be grandma. I'm grandpa right now. But because it's a matriarchal society, they try to impose upon the men nefariously what they do with the women. See, because women have a biological clock. Their time is ticking. And they don't know if they're going to stop childbearing at 35, 40, 45, or 50, they don't know, but they got a biological clock. Well, I'm 57 years old and just had a son. 57. My biological clock ain't expired. The only time it expires is when y'all takes me home. Think about that. And boy, we're going to learn a little bit tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking about history. So this ought to be interesting. I should get everybody undivided attention because I'm going to bring it to you from an Israelite Hebraic perspective as opposed to the way that the people who have put us into captivity try to tell us the way history is. We're going to come from an Israelite, a Yehudim perspective so we can get the real truth so we can all see and comprehend and understand. How about that? How about that? And I'm telling you, it's just a blessed thing. It's just a blessed thing. Father blesses me to have children all the way up until I'm 70. Who knows? I may go farther than that. I know one thing, I'll leave back a legacy and a people that will be strong and be able to protect each other, love each other, and more than anything, to fear Yah and keep his commandments. Nothing like it in the world. I have been in the world of the world. I'm so glad that Yah called me. How did that song go? I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Hey, I'm so glad. Man, I got to roll now. I'm telling you, I'm so glad. I am so glad that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I kind of wonder when the Father redeemed me, saved me, gave me his Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, you better be calling on Jesus. You don't, you ain't getting it. I'm telling you that right now. Hallelujah. And, let me give my appreciation here. Hey, Israel, I do appreciate every single one of you that are helping me in the work of this ministry right here by giving of your offerings, your tithes, or whatever way you can to help us in the ministry, because the Father knows that we are all, y'all literally see my footprint and have seen my footprint. I've got a 30-year footprint. You can just literally see it all right here on YouTube, every bit of it. You can see me when I'm young, when I have not one gray hair on my beard, and all the way up to this point, now I'm getting old. And you can also see me when I was young and had a good zeal for y'all, keeping his commandment best I could, and some of you have grew right along with me over the years and grew and watched us continue to keep on growing in faith, keep on growing in favor of the Most High. Just a beautiful thing. Just a beautiful walk in a beautiful way. It really is. And Hezekiah, he's going to make sure that he adds about another 5 or 10 years to Mother Carol. I'm telling you, boy, them two got a special relationship. Woo-wee! Woo, boy. Hallelujah. Teacher Shane said, I've been there since 1995. Yeah, they go teach a Cicero. 1995. Glory to the King. I'm like Cicero of 1992. I think that's what it is. Hallelujah. But, man, I cannot begin to praise him enough. And then, of course, I got brothers. Everybody loved the song Make Me Whole. And these brothers, man, they won't leave me alone. They keep saying, Pastor, we need more songs. We need more songs. Listen, y'all. I get it. I would love to be able to have time to write songs. Yeah, I mean, the majority of songs we sing in the ministry is what I pretty much wrote. I didn't write all of them. I mean, there's maybe what, like maybe three or four? But the majority of them. And, Pastor, author just don't have the time to sit there and write no songs right now. That's why, hey, we'll keep on singing the old songs of Zion until I get to it. And y'all just pray my strength in the Most High Yah as he continues to keep transitioning me throughout life, that I be such an example to the people that I don't ever become a castaway to any of them. I want young men to look up at me. I mean, Pastor Muir and I had a nice long talk the other day. I think we talked about an hour and 20 minutes on the phone the other day. And just Pastor Muir, man, that brother ran. He'd been at the pinnacle and the highest height concerning playing football and stuff like that. And that man, all he does, man, is just encourages me. He encourages Pastor Dow. Pastor Muir does, man. He literally does, man. He always has a wholesome word for me to encourage me, to keep me to stay in the fight, Pastor. He does what he does. And we talk about everything. We talk about in and out of everything. And I'll tell you, just as much as I inspire you, Pastor Muir, you inspire me. I promise you, you do. Just some go-getters. I just love it. I love what the Father's doing with us. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I love each and every last one of you. I promise I do. But I can tell you another thing. During this dead season, because this has been one hell of a dead season already, I can tell you one thing. I'm making sure that we have our righteous spirit starting first with leadership. And I've got a couple of places I need to travel around and set some things in order, just like Paul did, after the order of the hub up here and not after your own mindset. Again, I'm going to repeat this and I'm going to say it again before we get going. Listen, everybody's not at the same level concerning, you know, being Israelites. But at the same time, most of you have to understand, you have been living 20 and 30 years in the world. You've only been an Israelite for a few years, so you have more worldly wisdom and knowledge than you do Israelite knowledge. And some of you fancy yourself to be counselors, and you're not. Not by a long shot. See, I can actually say that I have been living Yah's laws, statutes, commandments, and been filled with the Holy Spirit longer in this world than I had when I lived in the world as a sinner. I can literally physically say that. And with that, I'm telling you, right now, there comes a great divine responsibility for that. I realized that these Israelites, they belong to him and not to me. I realize that. And I promise, I reprove, I rebuke, I correct, I admonish, I love, I do all of it, the balance of it I do. But I ain't got no time. That's right, Elder Mr. Reset. We hit the reset button. I make sure I don't punch that damn thing pretty hard. I'm going to punch it even harder. I can tell you that right now. I'm getting ready to get punched even harder. I'm going to try to knock that damn reset button all the way through the bottom of the floor. That's what I'm getting ready to do. Hallelujah. I know one thing engenders towards this particular word right here that says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Ain't nobody mourning being on this community here straightway. Zero. Zero. Nobody's mourning. Everybody's in their vein, doing their thing, living life, man, for the Most High. Y'all enjoy life. They really enjoy it. Glory to the King. All right. But I'll give y'all a call, let y'all know on Patreon exactly when that's going to be. There first foremost, when we're going to have the, matter of fact, it's all going to be on Patreon. Matter of fact, if I'm talking to anything about the upcoming leadership meeting, that's where it's going to be done at. So I'm going to bring just a few people out of my family. I may even bring a brother or sister, a brother or sister that has never been up there, that would definitely be a benefit and a help to straightway praise land when we go. May do that. We're looking forward, being the Father's will. I got to get with Elder Doug on that, but we're looking forward to seeing Hopefully that it materializes. Brother Tamu and Sister Aya at Passover this year. Y'all know that any time that we have the Israelites that are traveling that far, the ministry usually helps out significantly and greatly to help to make sure that they get over here. So with that, and I'm sure that Deacon Bell and Teacher Shane, all of them here, we ought to make sure that we have everything set up for them. We'll make sure they have all the accommodations, everything that they need, that they won't miss a beat when they come over here. It's just a beautiful thing. And the thing, these are Israelites that have been faithfully with us for quite a few years now, and they live way over, I think it's Finland. Now, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Finland. Way over down in Finland. Just beautiful Israelites. Them little girls, man, wait till I see them. I wouldn't doubt they're probably as tall as I am because Sister A is tall. Brother Tamu is pretty tall, too. I'm like, what the world, man? I said, watch that, and then you watch David read the commandments and stuff, and every time he turn around, man, month by month, seems like he's sneaking in another inch. And of course, you know, young people, when they're teenagers, they have a bottomless pit. You got to feed them. Good thing that we have communities, because I don't even know how you otherwise be able to feed these young men, because these are young men. They eat 2, 3, 4, 5 plates. They got to eat. It's like a furnace, man. They just get burnt up. They keep on eating and eating. They've got to eat, though. I understand. They have got to. I remember when I was a little boy. Anybody ever been familiar with Godfather's Pizza? Mother Carol and I, of course, it was Sister Carol. Well, it wasn't even Sister Carol. It was just Carol then. Well, we would go out. We would go to Godfather's Pizza. There would be a big old gigantic pizza. I would eat a lot of it. She could only eat maybe 1 or 2 slices. And, man, I would devour a lot of that pizza, big pizzas. That's what we would do, right? I don't even think that the largest Godfather pizza that they can, that these young men, I don't think they make them big enough for these young men. They got to devour them things, man, because I'm telling you, I remember when I was a teenager, I was eating mom and dad down out of house and home. And then when I went to work, I was eating up the majority of the money that I made buying food. Wow. Man. Got to eat, though. Got to eat. Oh, mercy. But everything, all is well here at Straightway in the land of the living. We thank the Father for it. What we got? I'm trying to look at the calendar up here. Because you do all, y'all do know that we got Camp Goshen that's coming up April 14th, 15th, and 16th. April 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's 3 days. Y'all people should be glad that y'all only going through 3 days of this. I think Frogman had the most extensive training in the ministry. And I know there's something like 6 months plus. That's just in order to become a frogman. And old Ranger them got like 60, 70 days of just pure D hell. And they call it a leadership course. And it is. Notice it, a leadership course. Most of you people don't even have a clue to what a leadership is. You have got to be in some high-level profession before you begin to understand what leadership is. That's probably one reason. That's probably some of the problems that we're probably having and issues and stuff. I'm going to have to end up teaching leadership. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'm not going to assume anything from nobody. I don't care what your damn background was. I'm not assuming anything. Well, I'm going to teach leadership. That's what I'm going to do. So that we all be on the same sheet of music. And, of course, we got the Saints arriving March 20th. And what I'm looking, I got this big old board over here. And, of course, we know we got Passover. The World Roman, the 23rd Saturday night, Passover unleavened bread. Glory to the King. Where else are we at? Pastor Mirror will be and straightway be the father's will. Hopefully, by then, all of this ice and all of this snow and all of this cold weather allegedly is supposed to be gone. So the 27th of the 27th of January, Pastor Muir, the pastor of Straightway Goshen up there in Indiana, is going to be here to deliver the message here straightway. Now, I won't be here. I'll actually be on a mission. And I'm sure that most of y'all know what that means, and I'm going to leave it at that. And but Pastor Muir will be here, and Brother Ron and Brother Steve, we ain't seen them in about a month. But Pastor Muir will be here. He's somewhere close. Been a long time since I've been here. Hey, y'all come support Pastor Muir, hear the word, what he got to say, and let's get about our Father's business. Glory to the King. All right, I think I got past pretty much all that right. All right. Where are we at right now? Okay. With that said, all right. Brothers and sisters, I need y'all undivided attention. I need y'all to listen to me extremely close, okay? Listen to me extremely close, all right? Because the way Pastor Dow talks, I don't talk like the way that this world talks and the way that they would have y'all to believe and do things. I don't believe. I just don't. I speak after the unction and the power of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, we want to talk about the history of Rome here for a second, the history of Rome, and try to get a good comprehension and a good understanding or overstanding of where we are at today. But in order to understand where we are today, we got to go back. That's the reason why people make sure that they skew history and they hide history and they make sure they blur history, because they really truly don't want people to detect, to know, and to comprehend who they are. Because it's only when you understand history, and the first history I'm talking about more, knowing more than anything, is the scripture. That's the best history book that there is in the world, the scripture. Rome, listen, I want y'all to understand, Egypt, Israel was a great empire, but Rome, the earth has never seen nothing like the Roman Empire. They ruled, and they ruled with an iron fist and an iron thumb. I mean, they ruled hard, extremely hard. Now, I may be awesome, but Rome had at least almost an 800-year rule and total domination. And that's not including the years after the Messiah. If y'all listen to me tonight, I'm going to show you something and teach you something. And most of you who've been with me for a while, you old hats, y'all probably know what I'm going to say on the back end. You're probably not going to know what I'm going to say on the front end here. But let's go over a little bit of history about Rome for a second before we get into the scriptures here, all right? Now, y'all hear me all the time speak about the United States of America, and y'all hear me over and over and over again talk about how that we are literally following the same exact footsteps as Rome is. And we've had about a 250-year run in this country. That's a long time running, because usually empires, the most run that they have is 200 years. But Rome had the big one. And I wanted to say this. Rome is still here. It ain't never went away. I know automatically I'm going to get a bunch of kickback. People going to balk at that. They're going to pass to you on drugs. Something wrong with you. No, it's still here. Now, what deteriorates Rome? What caused Rome to not be the superpower that it was in the day? I can tell you this. Number one, Rome, as pagan and heathen as they were, and mind you, Rome was polytheistic. They had a plethora of gods. Rome, kind of like America, put up that that map. Let's go with the map of Rome 117 A.D. Rome 117 A.D. There you go. Y'all see all that right there? Now, of course, now, you know, they got the Suez Canal and all this other stuff, but all that territory right there was what Rome conquered. And most people, if you don't understand, these are all merchant routes and everything. They controlled, I mean, everything. Rome was some type of serious empire. A few things about Rome that you didn't know, probably because it depends on the historian who's going to tell the story. But Rome, every time they went and conquered territories, they made slaves out of them. And they would have the slaves to work their fields, to grow their crops and their grains, you know, to do all the tasks and stuff. But then the Roman citizens, they would live on a high hog. But the people who got the greatest respect in Rome was if you was in the military. Because they had such a military juggernaut. They had such a strong power militarily that Rome just literally ran blitzkrieg over every single nation that they ever came up against. They had the most sophisticated weaponry back then. They had the most disciplined standing army back then. I mean, Rome was just, you call it bad. It's kind of like America today. I try my best. And Frogman, Ranger, I'm sure y'all can second this. I try my best to try to tell y'all. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the news media is putting out. When they say that America is the world's lone superpower, y'all can believe that. I'm telling you right now, at least in my opinion, from what I know, you can put China, you can put Russia, you can put India, you can put all of them together, and they still cannot equal our military might. And what is the game changer is those who have nuclear capabilities. Now, they didn't have all that back then. Yeah, you got that right. So I need y'all to listen to me here. I'm trying to educate y'all. What made Rome fall so bad is because they had so much immorality back then. They oppressed their people by heavy and high taxation and inflation. And, of course, what that did was it actually weakened the gap between the rich and the poor because they had such a military machine that when you start going out and you start conquering all these places, it's kind of like United States of America. When you start going out, and if you notice, every place that we have ever been in a war in, we have a presence there. I mean, Vietnam has been done ever since the damn 70s. So why in the hell do we still have an outpost over there in Vietnam? We defeated Hitler long, long damn time ago, and yet we got bases all across Usura, all across Germany, all over there. What I'm saying is every place that we have ever went and had a war or a conflict, we have left a military presence there. When you start leaving the military presence there, you know, today we got planes and all this other stuff, and we got destroyers and big ships and stuff. So we logistically, we can actually get support there pretty fast. Communications is off the chain with satellite. They didn't have all this stuff back then. And so America, literally, nobody wants to say it, but I'm going to tell you what it is. It's an empire. We are literally an empire today. And Rome, again, it's hard to put it in words. To be a Roman citizen was everything back then. So you had a lot of protections afforded to you. But as Rome started to spread out so much, they started to get real thin. Logistically, they could not keep up with the amount of lands that they were conquering. Because, again, every time they would go conquer lands, they'll make slaves out of them. And the Roman citizens wouldn't be out there in the fields producing produce, wheat, grain, corn, all this other stuff. They went and conquered all the lands down there in the east and stuff just so they could get on their ships and bring up grain and feed all their Roman citizens. They didn't care about nobody else but Rome. And so Rome eventually got to the point where the economy was literally faltering. And all of its commercial and agricultural production literally went into a decline. The empire began to lose all of its grip. Now, then it was not called Europe, but we're going to call it what it is today for your understanding. It was just big old Europe. And Rome, as they began to decline because of immorality, you know, like the United States of America, nobody's not going to tell y'all, but you know what's really, truly weakening us as a nation more than anything? It's femininity. There's no more men. There's very few men. You got polyamory, homosexuality, lesbian, transgender, A, B, C, D, L, G, B, D, Q, B, A, X, Z. Where the warriors at? When you have all of this confusion, where are the warriors? Because remember in Rome, you could have a marriage license and you would still be perfectly fine under Roman law with having a boyfriend on the side. You could, in Roman law, as long as you just had a license for marriage, you could have one woman, you call a wife, you could have all the mistresses and all the boys that you wanted. And nobody said nothing. That was their culture back then. As a matter of fact, the soldiers, they even encouraged that soldiers would be homosexuals so that they would fight hard for their lovers when they got out there to fight. That's what they're trying to do with the American military now. If it keeps going the way it's going, pretty soon people are going to be throwing feminine hygiene at each other. But this is what's going on in America right now, the reason why everything is declining. So because we have occupied so many territories and then they're doing budget cuts in the military, we're weakening literally everything about the empire of the United States of America. Do y'all know that America is it has over 200 military bases across this world? If that ain't an empire, I don't know what is. And Mike, I'm just giving y'all the Cliff Notes version of this, all right? Rome had a very serious problem with government corruption, political instability, just like we do today. Can we all really truly believe that Joe Biden was really elected by the American people? Come on, do you really believe that? That iconic buffoon who can't even say a sentence on his own, that shell of a man, if you want to call him a man. There was so much corruption, kind of like in our government today, so much political instability. That's why I keep telling you, we're following the same footsteps. And then, without me going into all that, let me just fast forward for the sake of time here. Next thing you know, See, remember, I mentioned earlier that Rome was a polytheistic religion. Everybody with me? A polytheistic. I mean, they have a pantheon of gods. Put up a couple of those gods. You know, they had, for the Roman god, you see that one? That was the last, one of the last great gods, one of the last great gods, that was Constantine. Let's go back to Jupiter and Zeus. There we go right there. See, Zeus was a Greek god, and Jupiter was a Roman god. And they pretty much looked the same. They just called them by two different names because they were two different people. Because remember, Rome conquered the Greeks. Going to Greeks. Anyway, they're all one and the same. Let me just put it like that. All right? And when you look at this thing right here, I want y'all to pay attention to one thing real quick. Y'all notice that eagle that is sitting up there next to Zeus and Jupiter? And then you're looking at that little thing he's holding in his hand. That's called Nike. That's the same thing he got down here in Nashville at this Greek Parthenon. They got this big 35, 40-foot damn statue of Athena holding Nike in her hand and a big-ass snake and a sword and shield right next to her. But over here you got the eagle. Now, let me digress here for a second, and let's go into the eagle. That's one reason why we don't wear Nike shoes or Nike apparel in this ministry. For those of you who didn't know about Nike and where Nike comes from, Nike is a god, one of their polytheistic gods. Now, when you start going to the flags, let's hit a few flags here for a second, all right? Y'all see that? Now, I'm getting ready to say something. Take y'all time on this, Mike Rizzer. Don't pull through this too fast. Rome ended up declining so bad that by time the decline was great because they kept losing all these provinces to the Vandals, to the Huns, and the Gauls and everything else, right? No, go back to America for a second, brother. All right, so watch this. The one thing that we have always seen, when you see me show Roman flags and everything else, we have always seen the eagle. Somebody say eagle. Somebody type in eagle, because I don't want y'all to get ahead of me on this. I want y'all to really, truly marinate on what I'm getting ready to say. The eagle. In other words, what happened was, is that when Rome ended up being allegedly, quote-unquote, disbanded, Rome has never, ever really ceased to exist. Political Rome came to an end, but religious Rome started flourishing. Are y'all listening to me? So the decline of Rome ended up dovetailing into what we know today. In other words, you got a polytheistic religion, Rome, that end up being monotheistic, and they dovetail into the spread of Christianity. Now put Constantine up for a second. Constantine, and in mind all this, we know about the time of, but about in 313, it later became a state of religion. Christianity displaced the polytheistic Rome. That's what Christianity did. And all the Romans, rather than having a plethora of gods, they end up accepting one god, allegedly, and it became the religion of the empire. And the religion of the empire, 300 years after the burial, and resurrection of Messiah, in comes Christianity. That's why I keep saying over and over again, how in the hell can you just insert into the Bible, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian when a Christian or the word Christian or the religion Christianity didn't even come about until 300 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah. It's called self-autonomy. That's what it's called. And so Christianity became the religion of the state. And all the Romans end up becoming monotheistic, and they all end up becoming Christians. So there used to be a time that Roman citizens used to look at the emperor as someone who had, because of blood, had divine status. And so what happened was, is that Rome ended up moving everything away from the glory of Rome or the glory of the state. It all shifted to the focus of one sole deity. Now let's go back to these flags for a second. Y'all listen to me. Everybody listen. I'm not losing nobody, right? Mind you, one of the distinct symbols of Rome was the eagle. Hosea talks about that eagle. The Apocrypha talks about that eagle. That eagle is significant. Because I want you to all understand, when you see all those maps where Rome was controlling all those regions, they end up being disbanded because they end up having quite a few rulers or emperors. Are you following me? But man, y'all are going to be flabbergasted when I get finished telling you what really happened. I am going to, let's run through the flags for a second. Let's run through the flags for a second. And the reason why we need to run through the flags, because I want you to understand, anywhere that you see that eagle, you're looking at someone who is a descendant of Rome. You're looking at a people that is descendant of Rome. So while it looks like that Rome has been dispelled, if y'all notice one thing, Italy is still the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church. Remember, I told you, they went from political to religious. So you got the United States of America. And then you turn around and then you look at this flag right here. This is a Russian flag. Why do the Russians have eagles on their flags like the Romans and the Americans do? Go to the next flag. You're looking at, this is the flag of the Holy Roman Empire. Think about that for a second. And what do you see? Eagles. Go to the next one. And this one right here, when you see this one right here, this is a Polish symbol. Think about that for a second. And what is the symbol being used? The same eagle that was used in Rome. So when these people are trying to tell you that, well, we're waiting for the revived Roman Empire, what the hell are you waiting on? All it did was just disband it into a bunch of factions of nations. It's still functioning, mostly under a religious order, but Rome ain't never went nowhere. As a matter of fact, it's prophesied, according to Scripture, to exist all the way up until the coming of Messiah. What we need understanding of is the four beasts and the little horn that rolls up out of the four beasts. Let's go to the next one, next flag. And, of course, that's Germany. So what am I saying? Pastor Dahl is telling y'all that all these lands and all these nations that was occupied they still hold the same Roman tendency. And guess what? They're all European nations that have constantly throughout centuries and throughout history have enslaved Israelites. They have enslaved Yah's people. That's Germany. How in the hell does Russia, the Polish, Germany, United States of America, how do they all end up with the symbol of the eagle on their flag? Go to the next one. That's Austria. Y'all beginning to see what I'm saying? Do y'all comprehend what I'm saying? These people, according to what we have read, according to the long-distance vision of what David, let me go over and get this scripture right here. Let's go to Psalms 83 real quick. Hold that flag right there for a second. We're not digressing. We're still on point, Israel. We're definitely still on point. I just gotta get this stuff in so y'all people can see what the hell is going on. Psalms 83, verse 1, it says, keep not you silent, O Yahweh, and hold not your peace, and be not still, O Yah. For lo, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee, they have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against your hidden ones. All these nations with all these eagles on their flags and stuff, these are the ones that David is talking about. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they are consulted together with one consent, and they are confederate. They are joined in unity against you. And they are called the Tabernacles of Edom. And the Ishmaelites, the Moabites, and the Hurgarenes, Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, and the Philistines, and the inhabitants of Tyre, Ashur is also joined with them. And they are hoping the children of Lot, Selah. And then he says, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as unto Seri, as unto Javan, at the brook of Kishon. Wow. You can't make this stuff up. I guarantee you the Hebrew roots people who have a fetish with all these Europeans. Y'all see what's that, right? Rome never went away. It's just that these people, under their different leaders, they scattered into all these different provinces. And when they had the eagle of Rome, they went to these different places, made their own flags, put their own stake in the ground, made their own nations, and they kept the eagle so you would know who is confederate against Yah. See, this whole thing is about Yah, brothers and sisters. It's about Yah's people, the people they've always taken crafty counsel against. Y'all better hear me, man. Y'all better hear me tonight. Let's go to the next flag. That's the flag of Albania. Albania. So then we got Albania, we got Austria, we have Germany, we have the Polish flag, we have the Russian flag, and the American flag. How the hell all of them got the eagle? Somebody tell me I'm off. Tell me I'm off. I've been preaching teaching this for a long time. I'm just letting y'all in on this. You got that right, Brother Jordan. 2 Ezra 11. Hey, go to the next flag. Y'all see that one? Do y'all see that one right there? Y'all know what that flag is right there? Anybody know what that one is? It's kind of slipped my mind there for a second. I got to look at, matter of fact, oh, I know. That's the flag of the Byzantine Empire. The Byzantine Empire. commonly known as England and Great Britain and all them European surrounding nations, along with the Portuguese and all them other people, and the Spaniards. Uh-oh. Next flag. That's the flag. That's one of the eagles of Switzerland. Switzerland. Can anybody ever tell me what do all these nations right here all have in common? They're all Caucasian. That's what they all have in common. They did have some mixed multitude in there, but for the most part, they were Caucasian nations, just like America. That's why the eagle is flying. Listen, I don't know, I may be stepping on a rim here, but I don't see no symbolism of an eagle in the melanated countries. Go to the next one. Poland. Next one. The United States of Europe. Can y'all believe this stuff? Can y'all believe it? Sometimes I just set up and I be set up and thinking about this. And you know what? Man, so when Rome allegedly so-called disbanded, they didn't disband because they had leaders out of every single one of these provinces and these countries. Mind you, the headquarters is still in Italy. Anybody know where the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church is? Does anybody know where the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church is? I'm waiting on y'all to respond. See, we give you a chance to text and stuff. Nobody says nothing. See, that's disturbing to me. That's really true. You got a Vatican, but what, damn it? You these people are something else, man. Y'all something. Y'all literally something. I can't even believe that y'all even listen to me. That the Most High even sent you to even listen to me. Because sometimes I don't even believe you're really truly paying the damn attention. I don't think you're really listening. I just told you and gave it up earlier that they went from political to spiritual. Out of which, if you go back in history, man, the Roman Catholic Church had so much damn power that even countries and nations wouldn't even make a move without the Pope. Ooh, Israel, boy. Dang Israel. Let me just give y'all some of the names other than what we went over besides the flags of Roman territories. They may all have different names. They still Rome. Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, Morocco, San Marino, Greece, United Kingdom, Germany, Luxembourg, Belgium, Turkey, Algeria, Morocco, including the peninsula of Egypt, all this Romania, Bulgaria, Bosnia, Austria, Switzerland, Albania, Cyprus, Slovenia, Slovakia, Croatia, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Hungary, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia, the Sudan. I can just keep on going. And everybody, where about that? You talk about the Roman Empire, but where the Roman Empire? Roman set up there flexing his damn wings right in front of you, all these damn centuries. You still can't damn see the forest for the trees? Yeah, Mexico. Because these are the nations that have been colonized. Everywhere they have went and conquered. Then these nations, just like ancient Rome, remember I told y'all, they went throughout the whole known world, conquered these people, made slaves out of them, made them be the ones to provide the grain, the food sources, the corn, the oil, the wheat, and the barley, to be able to feed the Roman citizens. All these modern day so-called, like, the United States of America, Great Britain, the Portuguese, the Spaniards, and all them, they exploited the Caribbean, they exploited Mexico, they exploited the United States of America, they exploited all them. But how they do that? Now, how did he get the labor? They went to Africa, had the Africans to sell the Israelites as slaves to them and put them throughout all these regions. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Well. I tell you what, Mike Rizzo, give me a break here for a second, man. I got to come down here for a second, man, because I get about frustrated with Israel. Literally get frustrated with Israel, the people who say that they listen. And they follow me as I follow Messiah, man. There's just a stupor over us. There's a dark stupor that's literally over us. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Send me on a break here for a second, man. Jesus.
To get off the unfiltered truth. If you like what you see, support the work of the ministry through Cash App or PayPal.
The only one that can make you whole. Hallelujah. Spirit, body, and soul. Hallelujah.
Be sure to tune into Blog Talk Radio with Pastor Dow. Be sure to tune into the Shabbat Message with Pastor Dow. Connected to the Straightway Business Directory, products and services, and live feast day itinerary update. If you want to know more about the Straightway Truth Ministry, visit www.straightway.com. Join Patreon with Pastor Dow to get all the unfiltered truth. If you like what you see, support the work of the ministry with Cash App or PayPal. Be sure to tune into Blog Talk Radio with Pastor Dow. Be sure to tune into the Shabbat Message with Pastor Dow.
You may know we say that he is wrong through the grace of the Messiah.
All right, we're back here. So now, after all of that, we're going to go into the scriptures. Let me pull up the Bible here for a second, all right? We're going into the scriptures. Y'all ready? Had to give y'all that history right there so that people could comprehend and understand. At least I hope they could comprehend and understand. I tell you what, man, I'm getting weary, man. Of course, the book says, be not weary in well-doing. It's just like people don't even really care nowadays. They don't even, at least it seems that way to me. Am I wrong? Somebody let me know if I'm wrong, because it seems that way to me. I didn't say it was the way. I said it seems that way to me. All right, where we are? We'll go to the book of Daniel. Listen, I'm not going through every damn flag that's all over this world right here. They give you up exactly who Rome is. That's all you need to know, all right? And by the way, listen, when I talk about European nations or white nations, I'm not saying that all white people are part of this damn Confederate conspiracy against the Israelites, Yah's chosen people, because that ain't true. Because if that was so, then the Most High Yah wouldn't turn around and give our white brothers and sisters the same Holy Spirit that we've got. We already seen he did that over in the book of Acts. He did that clearly in Acts chapter 10 and Acts 19. So that's for all you racist-ass people out there thinking that y'all don't say white folks, man, you're a damn liar. You're your father, the devil. When you get the real Holy Spirit, I guess you'll learn one day. For those of us who have the genuine Holy Spirit, I don't give a shit, don't give a damn what color your damn flesh is. What it is or not, don't make a nickel's worth of rat's ass to me. I know them that are his. Jesus. I've seen black devils like I've seen white devils. All of them damn devils can't be trusted. So anyway, we're going to go to the book of Daniel, all right? Now, there is a fourth beast, number four, that Daniel sees that is very dreadful and terrifying, frightening, extremely powerful. And in Daniel, you know, I'm not going to read all of them. He started Daniel 7, started the first verse. I'm going to go straight to verse 7, all right? And after this, I saw in a night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke it to pieces and stamped out the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse. Notice. This beast was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. 10 horns. All right? Take our time here for a second. Let's go down to verse 19 for a second. And I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped out the residue with his feet. So we got this so far, right? Y'all good? We good, right? So the fourth beast has these bronze claws and these large iron teeth. And it just annihilates his prey. And then you go to verse 8 of Daniel 7. Up one. I consider the horns. He pondered the horns. And behold, there came among them another little horn. So we got 10, now we got the horns that he considered. And there came another little horn. Pay attention to this. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So let's stop for a second. So you got these horns, right? None of these other horns have eyes or mouth, but this little horn rose up out of. You get that? The horns. Stop for a second. Except this little horn that rose up out of the horns has eyes and a mouth. I'm going to tell you right now, it's the beast. All right? So you don't get caught up in the innuendos and all this stuff. We must get ready to hit the seals and trumpets and vows, because I can tell I'm pretty much almost back in the vein of it again. All right? This little horn, proud, boastful. the words of the little horn. Listen to this. Verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. If it stays in there. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld, verse 11, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, mind you, you got a lot of people out there nowadays trying to teach you ain't no such thing as hell. That ain't what Daniel said. Now, Daniel, hey, hell was created for the devil and his angels. Well, there's going to be a lot of people going there, but I'm telling you, man. The little horn, according to verse 7, is called, or Daniel 7 is called the beast. We read verse 19. Let's go to verse 23, Daniel 7:23. I want y'all, please, I'm doing this for the sake of time because it's on broadcast. Read before, read a little bit after, all right? Verse 23 says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be, what kind of kingdom is this going to be? It's going to literally be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall, watch this, devour the whole earth, and it shall tread down and break into pieces. Now, watch this now. Let's go back over to the flags where the eagles were. You see this kingdom? Rome, I keep telling you, has never disbanded. It's never stopped. This kingdom is still active and is still existing. Oh, they're going to have a little war and factions between each other because it's all about territory. But the big plan is to devour the whole entire earth. I know some of y'all just heard what I said. Some of y'all just missed it. It went literally right over your head. But that's okay. It's all right. Now let's go over to, and we're going to come back to Daniel. Let's go to, let me give my Bible. Go to Revelations chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Y'all ready? Ranger, you're right. You're right. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sands of the sea, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having what? Seven heads, going back to Daniel, and what? 10 horns. And upon the 10 horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the head of the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. You know what? Let's go to Revelation 17. 3 real quick, too. I got something else in mind. All right? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the name of the blasphemer, having seven heads and 10 horns. Are we starting to put this thing together like the jigsaw puzzle now? Are we starting to put this thing together? See, Daniel is extremely troubled by this vision of the beast and the little horn. And so he's beginning to ask the father about it. What's going on here? And he tells him that the beast, now we got to go back to Daniel 7. I know, listen, we're line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, for we're stammering lips and another tongue, you're speaking unto me, we got it, right? So let's go back to Daniel and don't complain about it, all right? Daniel 7, we got to go this way so you can put it together, all right? And we're going to go to verse 24. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings. So now we know what the horns are. They're literally what? 10 kings. If you say 10 kings, you're talking about 10 monarchies, 10 rulers of a nation. If you're a king, you're a ruler of a nation. Think about this for a second. There shall arise, and another shall arise after these 10 kings. I put it in there, but after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. All right? We getting this, right? Now, a horn in the Bible, according to Psalms 89:24 and Psalms 132:17, is a human with a mouth. The eyes represent a particular king. Let's go to Psalms 89:24, man, because if I start telling people that, I took these notes a little bit earlier. And if I don't, you know, people are going to think I'm sitting up here just making up shit. 89:24, man. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and my name shall his horn be exalted. Y'all get that, right? 132, Psalms 132, verse 17. Then will I make the horn of David to bud, I have ordained a lamp for mine anointing. Now go look up all the Strong's and everything else and chain it together, because I don't have time to finish it all right now in this broadcast. But let's go back to Daniel 7. Oh, man. Verse 25. But he shall speak great words against the Most High, the morning, the beast, right? And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And what is this horn going to do? Listen. And think to change times, laws, and it shall be given unto his hand until the time and divine the time. Don't this sound like the book of Revelation? What does the Roman Catholic Church do? They change the Sabbath. They change the holy days. And then they came over to somebody gave them this false doctrine of a 7-year tribulation, which Daniel speaks just like the book of Revelation. Listen, Israel, I'm trying my best, because I only have so much time. I cannot spend an extensive amount of time trying to glue all this together. But I'm depending upon you having a working knowledge of the word. If you're with me, type in 7. If you're with me and you're lost, type in 1. So that way I can make some adjustments, all right? I don't want to leave nobody behind. But I think for the most part, I'm doing pretty damn good of chaining this together. Only 1-1. Okay, good. I get you. The fourth beast of Daniel saw, what he saw was the Roman Empire. The world kingdom that would rise after Greece. And the little horn that David saw was a world leader. It had eyes. It had a mouth. This damn bastard is going to be ruling until the time of the Messiah comes. We call him the anti-Messiah or the Antichrist. And of course, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. I can't forget that one. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Man, I'm going to use some damn sunglasses on. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Get that up there, Deacon Samuel. Daniel 9, 27. I want y'all to listen to this real quick, all right? And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I remember when Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin was trying to put this damn covenant together under Bill Clinton. Does anybody remember those days back then? And they was calling this the beast because they was calling, they said that Yasser Arafat was a little whore because he had his damn hajib on with his little horn sticking up like this that was covered up. I said, man, these people are sick as that. They be making up stuff. Wait a minute. I realize I'm going back over 35 years. 30 years. Somewhere along in there. Anybody remember that besides me? Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat, and you had Shimon Peres that had his damn hat in there as well, along with damn Bill Clinton. And people were calling this Bible prophecy. Oh, boy. Well, matter of fact, I don't expect nobody else to remember that but Elder Doug, Teacher Shane, and Deacon Bell. That's pretty much the only ones I expect to remember, and Mother Carol. They're the only ones I expect to remember that. Mama V's, we got a couple people. I got to mention that because people think I'm talking out the side of my damn neck. That's why I'm trying to see if I got anybody here, man, to confirm what I'm saying. Because I'm not just talking. Rangers say, I remember. Daniel 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with me for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall call the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And the overspreading of the abomination shall he make desolate until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out, which is the desolation. Meaning, there's going to be 3.5 years of this duration of this damn wicked-ass bastard called the damn Antichrist. Who in the hell is he? Go to Revelation chapter 11. Verse 2. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. Woo, boy. I didn't even know I was going to get into this tonight. Man, if I'd known I'd get into this tonight, I would have picked something else. Mercy. But the court, here we go to the courts of heaven, right? But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Now, those of us who know the tabernacle layout and everything, you got the court. Anyway, I ain't going to go into all that. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot. For how long? Somebody say how long? How long is the court ever going to be tread? The holy city. The holy city. How long is it going to be tread underfoot? For how long? 40 and what? 40 and what? 40 and what? Too much. If you put 42 months down there, if you have 12 months in a year, you have 12 times 3. We already know what that is, right? And then you add 6 more months to 12 times 3. What does that put you at? These lying-ass devilish deceivers out here are making merchandise of the people, fleecing the people, by telling you that the tribulation is going to be 7 years. And the book from Daniel all the way to Revelation speaks nothing but a time period of 42 months. 3.5 years, just like I've been screaming and hollering over 33 years. Because I got everybody else out here in the damn world to see, they looking at me with a third eye out the side of their damn neck like there's something wrong with me, like I'm crazy. So much so to the point that if I could sit here and just put the book in front of you, if you read it, they so mesmerized. They had Hal Lindsey and all of them back in the day. How many of y'all remember Hal Lindsey and all of them? I'm like, good. I was like, damn, this big old juggernaut alive right here? Man, we don't stand a chance with truth. But I understood then that y'all know them that he is. He's out after the masses of people, just a remnant. Unless y'all left unto us a very small remnant, we would have all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me get back on here real quick, all right? Why are we Revelation? Let's go to Revelation 12, verse 14. And so the woman was given 2 wings of an eagle that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place where she is nourished. We're going, mind you, y'all just heard this in Daniel, right? Where she is nourished for times, that's, you got a time, 12 months, times, double that, and a half of times from the face of the serpent. Israel, let me give y'all a hope. Y'all too much tribulation when you enter the kingdom of Yah, but you know the Most High Yah, during this particular time, those of us who are real Israel, the same way that Yah provided a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and he made sure our garments didn't even wear out on us. During this time of tribulation, those of us that are faithful and keep his commandments, blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they have a right to the tree of life, may enter into the gate of the city, but without adults and sorcerers and whoremongers, and whosoever loveth and liveth a lie. We're going to be insulated and protected by the Most High God for 3.5 years. Somebody say glory to the King. Somebody say glory to the King. Glory to the King. He's going to show up again and show himself mighty amongst his people. Y'all going to think that Yahshua have been sleeping somewhere. He's been sleeping no damn way. He's been watching everything, just waiting until the fullness of time. Oh, boy. Boy, y'all got me stirred up in here. Y'all got me stirred up in here, man. God. I can tell you right now, if I was to really break this type of teaching down right here, it would take me five days for me to break this down to the lowest common denominator so you'd be able to comprehend and understand what I'm hearing. But I think that most of you have the Holy Spirit, and I think y'all comprehend what I'm saying. I think that the Ruach is making up the hedge. I really, truly do. Let's go to Revelation 13, verse 5. Like I said, I think we're getting ready to hit into the... I knew it was coming. I didn't know I was going to come, but I told you I was coming. Listen, when I tell you I was coming, I keep trying to tell you I don't be making up stuff in my own mind or my own volition, man. I try to always be led by the Spirit of Yah. I try to always be led by the Spirit of Yah. Because a lot of this stuff I be talking about, I can literally do it in my sleep. But I want Yah to lead this. Revelation 13, verse 5. And that was given unto him a mouth. Remember, we talk about that damn horn has, right? speaking great things of blaspheming, and power was given unto him to continue. Somebody say, well, how long? How long did he have power to continue? See, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You can literally put it all together. 42 months! So, let's do a little recap here for a second, all right? So the little horn emerges from the four peaks. What is called the revived Roman Empire. And this whole entire coalition takes place because some way, somehow, the whole geography of the world, this whole thing is going to end up summed up into 10 world leaders. Well, Pastor, now it ain't there yet. It's coming. We ain't going to have all this confusion. I'm telling you, the man of sin is getting ready to set all this shit up. Good thing about it is that y'all already called this. The man of sin, the anti-Messiah, the anti-Christ, what is so he's called in Christianity. He's going up making his move. And they all are going to accept him. We're going to be set up as saying, the whole world is going to be set up as saying, and the Jews and all them, oh, look at here, look at that, our Messiah. And can y'all imagine us? We're going to be set up. I'll be damned if that's so. They ain't the damn Messiah. Well, look at all the good he's doing. He's getting healed and people getting healed. He's doing all this good work that they got. You shut the hell up. I said, you shut the hell up. That damn bastard is Satan. That damn bastard is the man of sin, the son of perdition. And you know what they're going to do, boy? Might as well roll out the guillotines. Roll them out. Here we are trying to help save people's soul alive, and they are steeped in deception. Now, y'all tell me, looking at the fabric of the United States of America and this world, you don't think this world is ripe for the man of sin? I mean, because the book of Daniel also tells us that the man of sin, he won't even have a desire for a woman. What does that tell you? God, mercy. Jesus. I know. Well, Pastor Dow, you always think you're right, Pastor Dow. Pastor Dow, y'all think you're right. Y'all always think you got all the answers to every damn thing, Pastor Dow. Right now, we just gonna set up and accept the fact, Pastor Dow. You don't know.
I have literally been sitting here and reading. I've been jumping from Daniel to Revelation, Revelation back to Daniel, Daniel to Revelation, Revelation back to Daniel, trying to put this stuff together so you can literally see what the book says. And I'm still going to be accused. No matter what. He's got ears, they're here. Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Verse 16. Oh, boy. You know, I got this one highlighted in the book. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, an equal opportunity. And equal opportunities. No discrimination whatsoever at all. To receive a mark. In their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark. One. See, these people, these lying bastards out here keep trying to tell you, got y'all thinking there's only one mark for the mark of the beast. Bullshit. I'm going to tell you what it is right now by reading the book. If you can use a little bit of self-autonomy, it clearly tells you. You ain't going to be able to buy sell except you have the mark or, that's what it says, right, the name of the beast or the number of his name. You got three damn different ways you can receive the damn mark, and they got you centered all on one damn mark. Look at the devil, and the devil is a goddamn liar. I know that I got the spirit of Abraham, Moses, Yah himself first and foremost. David, Daniel, and all the prophets, and the Messiah, the apostle. I know I got the spirit in him because I'm just too passionate about it. It burns in my soul. It burns so deep. Here's wisdom. Let him that have comprehension, let him that have understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So the little horn is basically, in a nutshell, is going to end up losing the war against the Most High. Everything that he got going on this earth is only temporary. Let's finish this broadcast. We got about 15 more mics. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. I know I went backwards to forwards, but I did it on purpose. And let's read, and I'm going to skip around here for a second. That's why you people should start reading the Apocrypha. Is everybody doing all right? Everybody doing okay? Are y'all praying for Pastor Dow, my strength in the Most High? Are y'all praying for Pastor Dow and my strength in the Most High, y'all? I need y'all, Israel. Man, listen. I'm going to let y'all in on something, all right? Matter of fact, I need to let y'all in on something. Israel, if y'all listening to me, type in one, because I really need y'all tonight, all right? Let me know if y'all listening. All right, Israel. This damn dead season, I can tell that I have literally struck a nerve in Satan's seat. My Ishas and them, listen. Are y'all listen? I need y'all to listen to me real good. In my own damn houses, right here and across the street, I got them crazy witch-ass voices being heard. Yeah, shit like that from my Aishas. I got doors being opened and slammed and bags are shaking like some damn poltergeist shit going on from here to there. I know Satan is upset. He mad as shit. I got all this stuff going on. I need Israel to start returning curses to every single blasphemer that is invoking and inviting, every witch covenant, every witch coven. Everybody speaks any negativity against this ministry. I need y'all to reverse every single curse, send it right back up on the senders right now in Jesus' name and plead the blood. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. All this shit, I'm like, we know we live in righteous and holy. First thing we do, all this shit starts taking place. First thing we do is try to confront the shit because, you know, the devil ain't there. Next thing, we cover the children. I got all this shit going on. This house, I'm like, what the hell is going on? They're telling me that Israel is not praying for their pastor like they said they are.
I'll get Mama Nelly and all them to come in and explain to y'all one night what the hell we've been going through this damn dead season. But I need Israel Confederate in spiritual warfare. I need the warriors that know how to pray and not just pretending. I need the ones that are dedicated to prayer. To loose holy, sanctified, set apart angels to fight and to guard and protect us. Because we got some high-level shit been living our way. Some damn coven, some damn witches, some damn devils has put us in the crosshair. And guess what? Now they in our crosshairs. You want to start this shit? Good. We're going to start this shit. We're coming straight for the Civil Corps. Coming straight for it now. Damn it. Fast down, what are you talking about, fast down? Ain't nothing going on over here. We doing the fire. It ain't nothing but that little cold outside. But what you talking about? Ain't no fast down. Don't. You just a dream, man. Oh, shit. Woo. Father, help me. One can put 1,000 of life. Two can put 10,000 of life. Keep on multiplying this Israel. Now we're going to put the edict out and the mandate out. Let's get it. Let's get it. You know me. I'm still going to sleep just well. I promise I am. Unless your ass can manifest like shooting shit out of you, I'm good. But it's just a damn irritant, if y'all understand what I mean. Just damn irritating as hell. That's why I keep telling y'all. When I say, this has been one damn dead season, y'all think I'm talking about y'all little, the little stuff that's going on, I'm like, man, shit, y'all ain't got a damn clue. Not even a damn idea. Help me, Father. So, if y'all don't mind, can y'all join together in prayer for Straightway, Pastor Dowell's family in particular? Cover us with the blood of Jesus. I got Mama Lillian, Nellie, Celine over here, Mother Carol, Summer, Isaiah, Isaiah. And myself, I'm between both places. Can y'all cover us if you don't mind? That's all I'm asking. I just need y'all to lift up your voice and don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. That's what I need. Constant lifting up in the voice. Same way I pray for y'all. We need voices going on because somebody has put some damn enchantment. And they're being extremely consistent and more disciplined than we are. Glory to the King. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy, all right? Everybody all right? Everybody doing all right? Got a few more minutes here. Remember everything that I just got finished saying. Everybody got it, right? Everything I just got to finish saying. I'm trying to break it down to the lowest common denominator. Actually, I got a lot of great gaps in here, which I can't put together in just this little short broadcast, but I think y'all get what I'm saying. I think y'all follow me along pretty good. Like I said, we hit the reset button. I know one thing that I did. I pissed Satan off. Good. I'm glad I pissed you off. I'm glad I pissed you off. Now I'm coming for all your damn imps, every single one of them. I'm going to get y'all ass. I'm going to get every single one of you. In the name of Jesus. Ain't a one of y'all damn imps smarter than the spirit of the Most High. Not a one of them. I got you. Deuteronomy 28, and I want to read. And I'm coming from the King James Version. I want to read. what the actual scriptures have to say. So do y'all understand, everything that we've been talking about tonight, all the way up to this point right here, I already told my Ishas, I told myself, we're going to go over some history tonight. Y'all see, y'all get it. So we're going to start at Deuteronomy 28, verse 36, and I'm going to read all the way till, I'm going to read for a while, for shit. I'm going to read till, damn. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 36, and I'm going to read all the way till 50, then I'm going to skip to Deuteronomy 28:64. All right? So let's read. And Yahweh shall bring thee and your king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other Elohims, mighty ones, wood and stone. See, my people has never known nothing about these damn wood, stone, these damn crosses and trees and amulets and bushes and every damn thing else and all these other fishes and them winged fowls and all this other shit. My people ain't never known that shit. But it's telling you what's happening to us according to prophecy. And you shall become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among the nations, among the Gentiles. Whether Yahweh shall lead you. Notice, Yahweh led us in that. Why did he lead us in that? Because we were rebellious, stiff-necked, stubborn, disobedient. Wanted to be like the nations. Didn't want to obey him. Yahweh led us in this. Gave us exactly what we wanted. Then we get over here, we cry, whoop, don't want it. Double-minded person, unstable in all the damn ways. That's Israel. Verse 38, and you shall carry much seed into the field, and shall gather but little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, and you shall neither drink the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for thine oil shall be cast its fruit, shall cast its fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you will not enjoy them. Now you see the reason why we raised up, we rear up in the faith, and then the damn sons and daughters, they kick the traces because they don't get the revelation because they get to take the out of the Gentiles, the so-called liberty and freedom of these damn funky lying-ass Gentiles, not realizing that you father and mother came from the same shit they trying to go to. We can't even enjoy our sons and them daughters because they don't want to keep the commandments. For they shall go into captivity and into slavery. I be good. Mercy me. Are y'all hearing this or is it just me? Verse 43. The stranger that is with you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Stranger is somebody of another nation. In other words, they're going to be the head, I'm going to be the ass. Tell me they ain't taking place here in America. Verse 44, watch this. And he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. Damn, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. He shall be the head, and you shall be the ass, the tail. Damn it, hold on one second. Y'all see the reason why? You know, I quote this all the time. The borrower is a servant to the lender. I keep it plain as that, because if I went back here, you wouldn't understand. I told y'all, here in Israel, we don't need that damn loans. We don't get that loans for shit. We're not paying that damn interest. It's forbidden for us in the law to charge interest of another brother. How in the hell am I going to pay interest to the damn Gentiles? At least if I can go to my brother, I can get it without usury. Oh, boy. Did I just say something wrong? Ooh, boy, I'm going to need a massage here tonight. I can feel this stuff tense. My damn, she's tensing up big time. Yes, Pastor Dow told you. Why are you going out there getting these damn loans of these damn Gentiles? What the hell are you going to buy that you need their damn loans? You got to do shit righteously and justly. You don't need to get no damn loan from them. If you need a loan, come, you get it from your brother, and you can get it without interest. God. No, Pastor. Nah, we're going to remain under the curses. You full of shit. What verse did I read last? What verse did I read last? It's time we go to bed. I love y'all too, man. I do. I love y'all enough to tell you the truth. Verse 45. Deuteronomy 28:45. Moreover, all these churches shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because you hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder and upon your seed forever. Because you serve not Yahweh your Elohim with joyfulness. That's the problem we got today. And with gladness of heart and with abundance of all things. Therefore, since you don't do it that way, you will serve your enemies, which Yahweh shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. And we got people trying to debunk this one right here. You can't get no more damn clear. This is clear than damn TV. Deuteronomy 28. Who he talking about? And Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from afar to the end of the earth. Y'all get ready. Y'all better get ready for this punchline. It's coming. As swift as the eagle flyer. What if we just got finished showing the whole broadcast right here? He bought a nation. And again, I'm going to say it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 49. And Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue you should not understand. We never speak no damn Greek and damn Rome. We never speak no damn Latin and all that shit. Verse 50, a nation of fierce countenance, which should not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. They don't give a shit. They're going to kill you all. What's happening right now over in Gaza? What's happening right now? Verse 64. I'm gonna bring this in right now. And Yahweh said, scatter you among the people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there you shall serve other mighty ones or other Elohims, which you nor your fathers have known. Even one is gone. If you got a damn cross up on your damn, in your home, in your car, a damn fish or a damn winged fowl beast, man, you should damn burn that shit and repent today. And thank God for the day is the day of salvation. You need to get caught up in this pagan shit. Oh, I know old Pastor. What's wrong with you, Pastor? Ain't a damn thing wrong with me. What's wrong with you? Verse 65. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither the sole of your foot have rest. But Yahweh shall give you there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and a sorrow of mind. Damn, they get this morning time. You know that we're going to get hungry, get whipped. Evening time, you know, we're going to get beat or get raped. You don't even know what the hell's going on. To the point you get to the end of it, no man's going to redeem you. No man's going to buy you. So don't tell me that real true Israel ain't got a good understanding of what the hell is going on in the signs of the time and the sea. I have a perfect understanding of what the hell is going on. I personally, I'm only waiting for two or three things to take place in this world before I prophesy and declare what Yah is doing. In this end time. And if you don't see it by me, I pray, let me see the prophet and know him. Because I know we'll be on the same sheet of music. I know we'll be speaking the same thing. Because I'm for him. And if it ain't him and it's me, I'll call it. I'm not going to get out of here like the rest of these damn bastards presumptuously speaking because you want some type of damn notoriety of your wicked, sorry-ass flesh and who you think you are. Oh, Jesus. I only want the glory of Yah's kingdom. And it's coming. When it's all said and done, you think about this. We got like 7,000 years of history of men been living and dying. Ain't been nothing but a few righteous. I'm going to be in that number. Israel, I hope you are in that number. I'm trying to figure out, how the hell do you follow up a broadcast like this? And mind you, it's been, what teacher saying, 20 years since I've been in this stuff? At least 20 years? Boy. I know one thing, what I'm living, preaching, and teaching, and it makes no difference. We all going that way any damn way. But I promise you one thing, I'm willing to go to judgment and to the grave with this. I promise you that. Because I've done all that I could do and stand on the word of the Most High God and keep his commandments. There's nothing else left to do. I'm with God. Israel, see y'all tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Man, I do appreciate each and every last one of y'all being here. Sometimes I get passionate, extremely passionate. I get upset more than any damn thing. I'm literally upset, man. I am to the point of almost being offended. It troubles me. It sincerely bothers me. It does. It just does. Y'all pray for my strength in the Most High, y'all. Let's wage war good as these damn spirits that's attacking my home, the community, and my households. Look at the devil is a lie. I need y'all to join in, Israel. Well, if I'm telling y'all, we're in a serious fight. We're in a serious fight. I'm telling y'all. We got to get these damn spirits. Glory to the King. Bless y'all, sweet, precious, strong, victorious, mighty, overcoming name, our soon coming King, Yahshua the HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. See y'all tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here. Same channel, be the Father's will. Shabbat shalom, Israel. King is coming.
Peace.
Miss Sloan.
Hello.
Hey, for tomorrow, what do you need?
I will send you, I'll tell you what, text me your email and I'll send you my PowerPoint.
You want to just send it on WhatsApp?
I can do that.
Yeah.
See, you're teaching me. I don't mind. I'm glad you teach me because I'm ignorant. I don't know shit, man.
But now, it's just the easy, it's the quickest, easy way. Now, let me ask you this. Your PowerPoint, is it on Google Sheets or you using Microsoft or something? Or Apple.
Yeah, all my stuff is done on Apple and stuff, but I'm sure I can probably figure it out.
No. Just send it over. I just need to know. But
okay.
We'll figure it out. Worst case scenario, if it's Apple, we'll just upload it to Google Sheets. And we'll go from there.
All right. Hey, would you like that broadcast, man?
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot going on.
Hey, I'm telling people what's really happening.
One stop.
We're gonna. What we need to do now, I don't have time right now, but in the near future, we need to like work on doing like documentaries on some of these subjects.
Oh, that's easy. To me, that's easy. That's why when I met Ron Dalton, I literally thought, I told him this. I said, man, I thought you were all these, I thought you've been listening to me all these years because I don't write books. I'm too busy working. You understand? That's the first thing I said to Ron Dalton when I met him. I was like, man, you got to be listening to me. I'm not trying to discredit him in any way, you know what I mean, and the work he's doing, but I thought, damn, how the hell somebody come across this unless they're living like this, you know what I mean? I just don't have time to write books, man. I'm too busy working.
Yeah, well, here soon, you know, because we're getting real close to where our business is going to be at a point where we're going to just be ready to get land. Once we get on land, man, we're going to start putting out professional productions for the ministry. Like TV quality documentaries, you know?
Well, you know, we're going to be there to help y'all build. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But as far as some of these other folks in Israel, there's been procrastinating, dragging.
Hey, look, I'm going to just tell y'all straight up, we're going to hit the ground running. We ain't going to be... Hey, look, even if we build it wrong, damn it, we putting something up there.
No, straight away be there to help y'all, man. Believe me, I know them that are doing the work, putting their footprint in. Some of these other cats, man, I'm telling you, man. Anyway, you already know I've been building a house in there.
Thank you.
All right, go to bed. Get in there.
Yeah.
See you later, boy. All right. I'll see y'all tomorrow morning, my brother.
All right, bless you, man.
Sloan.